Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, March 31st, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Matt. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing just great. Couldn't be any better.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I really am. That's always good to hear.
How about that? How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing fine. You watch out for tomorrow. It's April Fool's Day. Don't anybody trick you.
Oh, it's a fun day. It's a fun day. When I used to do programs with Alfred, I always did an April Fool's, and I got them every year. I don't know how many years. It was the same one, too.
Oh, really?
It was fun. It was a little different. It was a little different, but you know what? Time just goes by so fast, and you just forget that it's April Fool's. And
Yeah, I know. Years go by fast. I remember many years ago, we had an exchange student stand with us along with our Throne Three boys. And one Saturday morning, the march cut up and said, "Hey, boys, get up. You're running late for school." They got up, got ready, and ready to leave before they realized it was Saturday.
Did you guys enjoy that?
Well, I did. They weren't too happy about it when they figured out what was going on. They all went to Christian school, and they didn't mind going. So they got up and started getting ready and combed their hair and got everything done and ready to go out the door. And Marsha came back to bed. They said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going back to bed. It's Saturday."
I know as kids what we used to do. I mean, it was rarity, but we would, we took our parents' coffee in the morning. And, of course, on April Fool's, not every day, but, often. And April Fool's, we would always replace their sugar with salt.
Oh.
I can't tell you how many years we've done that. It was like they did do it, but they were always good sports. They always pretended that, they knew it was coming. Anyway, we have Wendy Wilson joining us today on March 31st. And let's first go to the market report. Well, it was just another day in the gold and silver neighborhood, but a good day. We had gold up $22 today at $17.09. Silver was up 43 cents at $24.53. Platinum was up 33 at $1,193. Palladium was up 40, 2,686. The USDX today was down only 0.05 at 93.23. And let's see, crude oil was down 134 at 59.21. Paper markets today, you had the Dow down 82 points at 32,984. The NASDAQ was up 200 points, 13,246. The S&P was up 14 at 3,972. The 10-year yield was 1.73%. And that's pretty much it it's so crazy out there, but we'll be talking about all this craziness in the second and third segment of the program today. We first have Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs joining us today. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Pastor Butch.
Hello, Wendy. It's good to talk to you again. You always sound up and chipper.
Oh, well, that's good. That's positive. I like that. I got puppies, and they keep me smiling. We're going to talk about the plague of prophets today. I got some new information on our COVID vaccines. Always the COVID, we're so sick of it. But we have to be informed, and we have to know these things. So we know that we're going to experience more pandemics as, the governments are, determining that these types of tools are excellent for political agendas.
Absolutely.
So, yep. And we heard that, the people of the UK recently, they can't travel outside their country unless the government determines that they have a good reason. So the UK is getting their vaccine passports in gear. And you have to ask, well, who's deciding over there what's a good reason to leave the country? And that's really not clear. But I believe I did hear that travel on business purposes was acceptable, but travel to, let's say, visit relatives was not. So, weird. They're trapped in their country, I guess, until that all gets sorted out. So the UK is also working, not only on their passports, but we're also hearing the younger generation over there, and even Americans, I hear from millennials, they think the passport, vaccine passport, is trendy. They think it's a good thing.
Oh, my.
Wow. So
No surprise.
Yeah. So how these planned pandemics are all going to work out? Well, they're going to make dynamic changes, really, to the way of life as we know it. So all facets of life are going to be touched by these things. So I wanted to talk about the pricing environment of your vaccines. So according to the Farce Pharma report, that the COVID vaccines are going to be purchased, well, they're being purchased by governments, and they're offered right now at a nominal charge to patients in or around $39 per dose, okay? So, and this is going to change real soon. They state the drug companies want to cash in on on the plague, actually, and we are to expect that sometime this summer the price of the vaccine is going to jump to $150 to $175, roughly, U.S. dollar. So if patients pay, let's say right now they're paying $200 per dose for Pfizer's pneumonia vaccines, well, you can bet they're going to pay that. They're going to at least pay close to that for the COVID. Now, to justify the cost, you know, the drug companies will have the media announce that, you know, the market on vaccines is been a kind of a life preserver against the deadly COVID virus, and the vaccine, you know, really, we're told it doesn't protect you from getting COVID, it protects you from dying should you get COVID. But this virus is so common, most of the planet really has been exposed to it, and it's just a problem for some folks. But the spin is going to attempt to turn it into kind of the boogeyman, if you will, so that people will get scared and go get these vaccines. So the pricing margins are going to change on the COVID vaccine, and they're going to impress upon the people that the companies that manufacture the vaccines, you know, have a lot of overhead. But if you remember, I reported that all these companies, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, they just developed the vaccine. They're not manufacturing it. They are outsourcing that to a third party. So they really don't have to hire hundreds of people and have more overhead. So just be aware of that.
Who's the third party?
They just picked a manufacturing company in the biotech area.
China? And,
I think some of them are up in New England, actually. So the political climate is, you know, the next time, they're going to be launching these vaccines and these pandemics. So we need to be prepared to that. But you got to also remember, pandemics are random in nature. They're rare. And since the 70s, we've been experiencing an unprecedented amount of them. So, and what does the Bible tell us in the latter days? That there will be plagues and there'd be pestilence. Here's a quote from John LaMatta. He's a healthcare journalist, but he's a former pharmaceutical executive. He says, "A sudden dramatic increase in the cost of the vaccine is certainly going to damage the industry's image, almost like the industry would be performing a bait-and-switch operation." So he's not for jumping up the price, but you know, like I said, they're going to say we had pandemic overhead. So that's how they're going to justify this price hike and still keep their humanitarian face mask on, basically. So they're going to say we had to have more factory space, we had production cost increases, blah, 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 blah. But millions of these doses aren't being made by these drug companies. They're made by another biotech third party. But we're going to get to the contract with the biotech third party in just a minute because it's very interesting. So moving into the future, as we experience, you know, repeat pandemics, it's going to become commonplace, actually. Just imagine this, Melanie and Dr. Butch, Pastor Butch. Just remember that, you know, the young people think it's trendy to have a vaccine passport. So another vaccine, another $200, they get their passport stamped. They're going to think it's a good idea. You know?
Yep, but that's how we're deceived into everything. We're either afraid of it or the young people think it's trendy. That's how we got in the whole mess to start with.
Right. And so now the CEO of Pfizer, Frank DiMaio, he says moving into the future after the pandemic period, remember I just said that, he said after the pandemic period, Pfizer is going to get more on the price and will increase output on its production costs per unit. And these are extraordinary times, and our pricing reflects that. So, you know, he just lied to you. They're not really making anything. They created the vaccine, but they're outsourcing the manufacturing of it. So let's get to the pricing here, the nitty-gritty. How much does it really cost them to make a product? Well, Pfizer didn't take any government funds to develop their vaccine, whereas some of the other drug companies did receive financial assistance. So governments have negotiated the price down since they helped pay for the manufacturing or development of the vaccine. So they're getting a cut. And they're getting a better price right now, and that's why it's $39 a shot. But here's the breakdown on the vaccine cost per dose. If you get the Pfizer one, it costs $19.50 to make it per dose. The Moderna is $15 a dose. And the Norvax is $16. The Johnson & Johnson is $10. And AstraZeneca is $4 per dose. So now you can see what it's costing them to put it together. And rule of thumb basically in you know, the marketplace is three times that is retail. Okay?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So
sounds about right.
Yeah. But $175 way beyond the retail thing, you know. So and here comes the devil in the details. Remember I said the CEO said that moving into the future after the pandemic period, they're going to get an increase in their share on this vaccine. Well, drug companies have what is called provisional clauses or inclusions in their agreements with how, you know, the purchasing of their product will be, especially in large amounts. Now they have, you know, they have drug rights on the serum. So they have agreements with the biotech industry that's making it in mass production. So AstraZeneca, for instance, requires their third party manufacturers of the vaccine to include in their agreements that the company has the right to declare when the pandemic ends. So it's not about science and it just tapering out and virus running its course. Your drug companies are determining when there's an end to COVID.
Wow.
So there never will be.
So, and of course, he's mentioned this is going to affect pricing. Okay. So once the supply, the original scarce supply runs out, you know, at $39 a shot, then, you know, should there be spikes or reemergence, or like you said, Millie, it never goes away, then you're going to be paying more for your shot. So it may look bad now if a drug company makes a profit during a pandemic, but after the pandemic's over, that's a different story. They get to keep their humanitarian face. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Got it.
Okay. So, yeah, we live in interesting times. We just need to be aware of these things. But you know what I'm seeing in my local area? More and more people aren't wearing masks. They're not.
Same thing here.
I went to the post office and, you know.
That's because they've all been vaccinated. That's why.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't ask them. I didn't interview them. But yeah, it could be. It could be that they got the vaccine. So
what I've been hearing, I have a customer. She's a flight attendant, and she says a lot of her coworkers were taking the Johnson & Johnson, and she says a lot of them got sick. And I saw a report today where the Johnson & Johnson, the guy got such an infection, his skin peeled off.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. It's like, yes. Are you kidding me? And I told that to somebody that I know has had their shot, and it's like, oh, well, somebody's going to have to die. Yeah, but I don't want my skin to peel off.
Wow.
Somebody's going to die. Well, okay, yeah.
Somebody's going to die. Of course they're going to. Oh, yeah. My.
Yeah, well, I mean, another doctor came out, and I think he said the Moderna vaccine is causing critical and chronic and deadly blood clots. So we already knew that.
Yeah, but they say it's because of COVID.
Yeah, I know, but...
I know.
It's just the coincidence, UK, you know? It's such a coincidence.
It is. The British government just said that since they started giving COVID vaccines, this is from the British government. That's something that somebody said from an extreme right perspective, that miscarriages are up 366% in 6 weeks.
Well, see, the Pfizer working side effects list, they warned people about that. They said there was going to be pregnancy question marks there. They weren't really sure there was going to be something going on. But what one gynecologist said, it's worse than that. It's a sterilization drug on top of a miscarriage drug.
So the
woman will find it difficult to have another child. So, but that's not the first sterilization vaccine they've ever given. The tetanus is one. If the tetanus, if you get the, they like to give it to females, obviously, and this is why you see high school pregnancies way down. In middle and high school, they'll send out these announcements to parents through the public school system saying, your child's booster is 2 days short of a certain date. You need to get to the doctor's office and get that corrected and show proof of vaccination before your child can reenter the school. And you have 30 days to comply. So, but the tetanus shot really has a protein activation, and I've mentioned this, that a lot of these vaccines now are created where they can manipulate proteins and flip switches on and off. And in the tetanus one, what they do is they do, with a protein switch, they make the female basically allergic to pregnancy. So if the egg is fertilized, it's not able to attach to the wall of the uterus, so it's aborted. So it's another abortion. It's just an abortion pill, but in a serum form, basically.
It's called population control.
Yeah, but, you know, if you take the morning after pill, that's supposed to be, you know, an abortion pill, they say. And it's,
right.
And it's, and that pill is called RU486. That's the number on the pill. Well, you know, if you've ever been in the military, you know what 86 means. It means to take out the enemy, kill him. So it's really RU4 killing. That's written on the tablet.
Hadn't thought about that. Wow.
Yeah. So, well, I know we're out of time, but hey, we're having a sale. A spring sale at Apothecary Herbs, 25% off orders of $50 or more, runs through the 4th of April, so this is a good time. Get your pandemic kits, your immune boosters, and so on. ThePowerHerbs.com.
Give us your number one more time.
Sure, it's 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com.
All righty, well, can't wait to have you on again tomorrow, Wendy, so I appreciate it.
We're coming on tomorrow.
April Fools.
Oh,
that's a day early.
April Fool's early. I went into that one.
She got it.
Have
a great week, Wendy.
You too.
And we'll
talk
be right
later,
back,
Wendy.
Ladies
Bye-bye.
And gentlemen, right after this short break.
We will find you acting on your best
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. You know, it's just so, Butch, I can't believe half of this stuff is going on that's going on out in this world.
Yeah.
This morning, and this kind of takes us away from, and I know you have lots of things you wanted to, but this bugged me. 72 black executives call on corporate America to fight voting restrictions. And this is all coming out of the Georgia, the passage of their recent law. And
I was going to say, what's Gums upset about the law? From what I read, it wasn't any big deal. What's going on with that?
It isn't any big deal, but they're talking about, and again, what do? They bring in race. Well,
of course,
it only takes white people there was a study that it only takes white people 6 minutes to stand in line to vote, but yet black people have to stand in line 5 hours. Yeah, and then he made his own point, and I don't even know if he understood what he said. And this is this effort is being led by the former American Express CEO Ken Chenault and outgoing Merck CEO Ken Frazier. But he says, well, you know, we didn't agree with the Democrats when they were doing all this gerrymandering to bring so many blacks into these smaller communities so they could get the vote. Well, you know what? That's why they're waiting 5 hours in line, because they did all this gerrymandering so you get all these black voters in a small area so they could carry the vote of the county. So, I mean, it's, but you know what? It isn't about race.
No, it's not.
And that's what they say. They say that, you know, the Georgia's recent passage of a law, the opponents say it's going to make it harder for black people and other disadvantaged communities to vote. It's like, really?
Well, you know, it is how do you put, I hate to even say straight up and down, but I have to, it's a crybaby club. That's, whatever the problem is, it's racist. You heard about the Democrat Karine Brown, who stole $800,000 from a children's charity fund, and she's convicted, and she says it's racist, the verdict is racist. She stole $800,000 from a, she pleads for mercy and compassion. She took $800,000 from a children's charity fund and has the nerve to call the verdict racist, Congresswoman Karine Brown. So she took about $1 million away from children's funds because she's found guilty of it, that she calls it racism. And I know it's a card they're playing all the time. It's been going on for quite a while. It's just getting worse. And someday people are going to get tired enough of it, they're going to stop it. But right now, they're still playing
it. I don't know about that. But, you know, there's civil rights groups that are suing Georgia over the law.
I know.
Restricting these votes. You know, and it was funny because I saw a comment on Facebook. It's like, oh, it's not humane. These people can't drink water.
That isn't what
it's like.
Not,
what are, it's not even what it says.
No, it isn't.
And it's just like the Democrats are so uninformed.
And, they won't be uninformed.
Pardon?
They don't want to hear the truth.
No, they don't. And you know, what was interesting is because the other host, this interview this morning was on CNBC, and the other host that is a little more conservative, they didn't have his 2 cents in there at all. They made him be quiet. But, I mean, it is just, I don't know where this is all going to end, but you talk about dividing a nation.
That's the plan.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the plan. That is the plan, and it's working very well. I mean, people that are not racist at all are getting fed up with it, too, and you can't blame them. I mean, I'm getting tired of hearing it myself.
I know. Well, because it's you know what? If somebody wants to claim something that's racist, okay, go, you know, maybe whatever. But, I mean, they're setting legislation. They're setting, they're making changes all based on this, and they're making everyone else the bad guy. It's like, well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm going to say, even if a state can't make its own laws without being accused that from nationwide from being racist, and besides that, the state just tell me, hey, take a hike. It's our state.
They should. And what this campaign that they're trying to do is they're calling on these companies to use their reputation, money, and lobbyists to sway lawmakers. Now, you would kind of think that'd be a little bit illegal, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you would think so.
But anyway, it's just
It's frustrating.
It is frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, with anybody that has any common sense at all can see through this, if they want to see through it. But when you got a winning horse and you're beating it to death and still winning races, I guess they figure keep right on going. You know, beat it a little longer.
But you know what's sad? There's no one that is standing up against it. There's so few.
In today's atmosphere, that'd be suicide.
And that's just too bad, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is.
That's a shame. And those that are fearful of that climate, they should be ashamed of themselves.
I totally agree. But how many of us, and I'm sure I have in the past, you know, it kept quiet when I should have spoke up. But whatever reason, I didn't want to offend somebody or didn't want to cause a wave and a problem. But there comes a time you got to say enough is enough. And if it causes a wave, that's fine. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get their attention.
Well, I'm talking about politicians.
Well, I'm talking,
that's
supposed
to be their job.
Well, politicians are business people, anybody else.
You know.
Yeah, businesses are afraid of the same thing, too. I mean,
because they don't want to lose the almighty dollar.
That's exactly right.
Oh, my, somebody might boycott me like they did to Mr. Pillow. Look what they did to that man.
So that's what we are facing.
But he's fighting back.
Yes, he is.
He's fighting back.
Wonder what happened to his lawsuit. He was going to prove the vote fraud, which he did prove, and I know that Dominion was going to sue him. What happened, especially when in court at least a couple weeks ago? Wonder what happened to that?
I don't know.
Anyway, but I admire him for that. If I had a chance to shake his hand, I would.
So, you know, so it's just that these men and these politicians just don't have the... Well, I know that lawsuit with Dominion is still going on. You know, I don't think that's over.
No, I know it isn't.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know about any of the other lawsuits, but anyway.
But I don't think this has hurt him much financially. If anything, I think it boosted his business a little bit.
Probably.
I think so.
So, what's next?
Well, anyway, I will cover this because it's kind of good news. U.S. private payrolls post biggest gain in 6 months. Housing market cooling. U.S. private employers hired the most workers in 6 months in March as more Americans got vaccinated against COVID-19, pushing the economy towards a broader reopening, which is expected to unleash a strong wave of pent-up demand in the coming months. Though the private payrolls gain shown in the ADP National Employment Report on Wednesday was slightly below the economist's expectation. The jump in hiring aligned with a recent improvement in labor market conditions. The broad-based increase was led by leisure and hospitality industry. The labor market and economy are also being supported by the White House's massive $1.9 trillion pandemic relief package. I'll repeat that. The labor market and the economy are also being supported by handout. Will be the same way next month when the handout is spent? You'd accept that questions. I don't know. Companies will bail out too. Companies were hiring again in March and the economy was soaring, said Chris Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Private payroll surged 517,000 jobs this month after rising 176,000 in February. Economist Pobla Reuters had forecast private payrolls by increasing by 550,000 jobs in March. The leisure and hospitality sector added 169,000 jobs after only 51,000 in February. Construction payrolls rebounded by 32,000 jobs, while hiring at factories rose by 49,000 positions. But again, a massive handout. And 21 Senate Democrats urged Biden to put recurring stimulus checks, unemployment aid extension, in the recovery plan that he worked on now with the infrastructure. They want aid tied to the economic condition so it does not lapse into too early. So they want to add more to the infrastructure plan to guarantee that these stimulus checks will continue and unemployment increases will continue. So there you go, Melody. And they say that the economy is booming on that. How long can you feed money to the economy to keep it booming?
Until it doesn't. I don't know. That's what I talked about yesterday. I said, the great economy that we have is all based on government stimulus.
It is.
It's government creating jobs, and that's not government's job. And I had a list of some of the things that this new stimulus bill was covering, and it truly is amazing. It's like removing lead pipes from people's homes.
Yeah.
Who in the heck do you know have lead pipes anymore? I suppose you could have a home that was built in the 1900s, 1920, maybe.
Well, That's been replumbed. Has to be. That would have corrupted.
It has to be. If it wasn't replumbed, it probably isn't worth replumbing it today. Because
I agree.
The whole thing. So, the whole thing doesn't make sense. But guess who gets that money? The cities. The states. And then they'll get to decide how to dish it out. And you think they're really going to dish it out to some poor person who really needs it? It's the same thing as the road to recovery through Obama. Billions of dollars supposed to repair the roads and bridges. They slapped on a coat of paint, stood around, looked busy, and that was your road to recovery. So they spend billions and billions and billions of dollars on some of these. Oh, they were going to spend how many billions of dollars to cap oil wells and mines. So that'll keep people who work in the oil business with jobs. Are you kidding me? How long do you think a person's going to have a job after the oil wells are capped? And the mines are closed. Then what do you do? Butch, I was reading through that, and it was just... I'm speechless.
Well, I have a little bit of the outlay right here. It's $2.25 trillion. President Joe Biden will unveil a $2.25 trillion U.S. infrastructure plan Wednesday. I guess that's today. Paid for by tax hikes on businesses. We'll discuss that in more detail in a minute, too. As the administration said, we'll approve the most sweeping since investments in the 1960s PACE program. The four-part, eight-year plan dedicates $620 billion for transportation, including a doubling in federal funding for public transit. It would provide $650 billion for initiatives tied to improving quality of life at home. Okay, there goes lead pipes, clean water, and high-speed broadband. There's $580 billion for strengthening American manufacturing.
Oh, yeah, everybody needs high-speed broadband, don't they?
I guarantee you. They do. And $580 billion for strengthening American manufacturing, some $180 billion of which goes to what's billed as the biggest non-defense research and development program on record, and $400 billion to address improved care for the elderly and people with disabilities. So I wonder if I can get a room built in my house, Melody. I kind of need one, more and more space for the office here and everything. I thought, if I could get some of that money. I just thought I'd ask and see. But here's what people are not looking at. Biden will outline an array of tax proposals beginning on Wednesday, an opening bid ahead of months of long negotiations, mostly within the Democratic Party, but these are his priorities. The biggest ticket item would raise the corporate rate from 21% to 28%. That's worth $730 billion over 10 years, according to Taxpayer Center. Impose a global minimum tax on profits from foreign subsidiaries. Tax capital gains as regular income for the wealthy and tax unrealized capital gains at death. Return the top individual rate for those making more than $400,000 a year to the pre-Trump rate, 39.6%. So, there we go. Well, he's taxing the corporations and the wealthy. That's what should be done. People, they just pass it down to us. They don't lose this money. Please, I mean, the corporate is not going to send out $730 billion in 10 years and just suck it up and say, well, we lost that money in taxes. It's going to increase your prices at the stores, at the gas stations. It's all going to add up to come out in our pockets. And surely by now, Melody, we can see the increase in everything around us, everywhere we go, whether it's building supplies or buying furniture or appliances or buying groceries. Prices are going up really steeply all of a sudden. If this becomes law and these corporations have to pay more, guess who's going to pay for it in the long run?
Hey, I agree these corporations don't pay enough. But I also agree with you that, you know, they're not going to lose.
No, they won't.
They need to do the whole thing. And you know what? They ought to throw out every single little loophole and give everyone a flat tax.
I've been proposed many times and never has passed, but I've heard
I know it.
Long.
That's why.
Yeah. Yes.
Because that is the best way to go. Close the loopholes. But you know what? But you're going to have to do more than that because, yeah, corporations, they'll just pick up and go somewhere else. So not only do we pay higher prices, we lose our jobs. But they're going to be going anyway due to technology and everything else that's coming our way. Manufacturing is not coming back. I don't care how many windmills they propose to build and how many little electric plug-in things. I mean, do you think most people can work on electrical outlets at a gas station to install them? I mean, I hope it does. Hey, I'd be more for it. You know, I'd be all for it. But you know what? Common sense. And who's going to pay for all of this? Hey, that's fine. Let's build the corporations. But who's going to pay? They're not. You know, it's the taxpayer that ends up paying it for it.
And the consumer always does. The final consumer is the one that picks up the tab.
And I always do it.
What is the solution?
How about getting rid of some stuff? How about cutting the ties of sending money overseas? How about looking at the budget and cutting down and find some money? We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Open up your piggy banks, ladies and gentlemen, because it's the tax a man cometh with higher prices.
Guaranteed.
What's next? What's next, Bunch?
This is interesting. Fired, interrogated, and disciplined. Amazon at warehouse organizes alleged year of retaliation. And I've wondered about this. You know, Amazon wanted the warehouses, people in the warehouse wanted to organize a union. I wondered how Amazon would take this. So this article says a number of charges filed with the National Labor Relations Board accusing Amazon of interfering with workers' rights organized more than tripled during the pandemic. A day after Jonathan Bailey organized a walkout over COVID-19 concerns at the Amazon warehouse in Queens, New York, he was, he said, detained during his lunch break by a manager in a black camouflage vest to introduce himself as ex-FBI. I don't know how that would hold any authority, but anyway. Bailey, who co-founded Amazonians United, a network of Amazon workers for fighting for better pay and working conditions, was ushered to a side office, interrogated for 90 minutes, according to testimony filed to the National Labor Relations Board, or NLRB. The manager asked exactly what Bailey had said or done to get his fellow workers to join the work walkout. When Bailey declined to shifted his tone. He told Bailey that some people felt hurt by what he did and that it might be seen as harassment, Bailey said. It was already a pretty intense conversation, but it became very clear that they were trying to intimidate me, Bailey said. Being accused of harassment is a very dangerous thing. A week later, Bailey received a formal write-up for harassment, although his managers would not tell him whom he had allegedly harassed, nor what he had allegedly said or done, according to NLRB testimony. So, I don't know whose side to choose on that, but I didn't think Amazon would sit quietly as the workers tried to organize for different reasons, I suppose. Of course, one of them being pay and benefits. Because Amazon, as any other large corporation, is in for profit. And whether this gentleman did anything wrong or not, I really couldn't tell you. But I don't think they're going to sit still and just let this slide and let him organize a union in Amazon. I don't think they want that at all.
I guess they're supposed to be voting on it here shortly. And,
that's what
you know, Amazon has already said, hey, you know, we'll just move. We'll go some other state.
Yeah.
We'll go to some other state.
Yep.
I'm sure that some other state will give us all the subsidies we need in taxes and so forth. That's where you got to stop. Stop these states and local areas and all these subsidies. You know, keep the taxes low, but quit the subsidies, too. Quit the welfare. Quit corporate welfare, period. But, yeah, you know, but then I was reading the same, one of these other articles about the union coming into Amazon. And, you know, and really what happens is I'm reading where this one guy is saying, well, you know, they were making the comparison with what manufacturing used to be. How, oh, it's so tedious working at, so repetitious working at Amazon compared to what it was with manufacturing and the old. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? People just, they just whine about everything.
Yeah.
Of course, it is different. You have technology taking over. robots taking over. They're eliminating the human position. So you get to do what the robots do. They're the ones that are leading, and you're following. And again, Butch, it's just another sign of where does this all go? And, you know, we're older. Well, you are.
Yeah, I am. You're just 39.
Right. And it's just like the young people just don't see it. They don't understand what they have lost. And I don't know what makes them understand what they've lost.
Oh, well, how could they understand what they lost when they never had it? See, that's one reason why things change by generations. What I could do when I was a young boy, and we could actually take a gun to school with us, I've said many times, on the bus, and we went to high school, carried it to grade school, we went to school, to hunt after school, and no one thought any more about that than somebody walking in the classroom. And, you know, no one thought anything about that. No one challenged at the door. No one panicked. He took it in, put it in the office behind the door like the principal told you to, and that's where he left at the end of the day. And on the school bus, too, leaving the bus all day long to hunt after school, go deer hunting or something with a friend. So, but see, this generation never had this, so they don't know they lost it. They don't know they lost that freedom, that ability to actually do something like that and enjoy it. They never had that melody, so they don't know they lost anything. And when I tell them that, you know, they look at you like, well, that's amazing. They don't, they believe me, but it didn't enter in their mind that, hey, we lost that.
Yeah.
And I think you can't blame them. When I was 16, 20 years old, you know, I really wasn't thinking much about what was lost in my dad's generation. You know, I mean, so I guess that's how it's all done. You lose a little bit of liberty in one generation, the next one loses a little more. The third generation loses even more, but they don't know they lost it because they never had it. That makes sense?
It does.
And it's sad.
But I don't think we've ever lost as much as what they've lost today.
No, we haven't.
Past generations did not lose.
It's accumulated.
It's
accumulated.
But they still lost a much greater loss. And maybe it's because we're further along the line, too, that we realize it. But
it is. And the idea that a lot of people had, obviously, from the time this nation was founded, the idea of liberty, and they die for it if necessary, has faded mostly into oblivion. People don't think about that anymore. They, as long as they get their bailout check and they get to go to the ball game, they're not worried about it. That's a sad thing to say, but prosperity always brings complacency, and that falls right back into slavery.
Right.
So anyway, the Suez crisis is over. Now time to add up the damages. Yeah, Suez Canal may be open again, but the battle over damages from the waterway's longest closure is almost half a century just beginning. With cargo delayed for weeks, if not months, the blockage could unleash a flood of claims by everyone affected, from shipping lines to manufacturers and oil producers. The legal issues are so enormous, said Alexis Callahan, a partner at Norton White in Sydney, which specializes in transport law. If you can imagine a variety of cargoes that are there, everything from oil, grain, consumer goods like refrigerators to perishable goods. That is where the enormity of the claims may not be known for a time. And I hadn't thought about that, but there's going to be some lawsuits. There's going to be some claims on insurances. Who knows what could happen out of this? I mean, when you shut down, 15% or so of the world's shipping every day, and the ships are backed up in the oceans or seas, and their goods are ruining, especially the perishable goods, and they're losing money every day and paying paying for the men on the ship, taking the ship, keeping the ship going, everything moving. They're losing billions of dollars. So, yeah, there could be some lawsuits, Melody. Any comments on that?
Nope. You said it all. But, yeah, I agree. There will be lots of lawsuits.
And I just and a lot of insurance claims.
Of course, a lot of them have insurance, too. So.
Yeah, they do. So, they had insurance claims. And, of course, that's going to, who knows what to do with the price of insurance in the future. But this was a biggie. To close off that shipping lane was a huge, huge thing.
Yes, it was.
I mean, that's cost a lot of people a lot of money. And the next thing, we heard Wendy talking about the price of vaccinations and how the price has been highly inflated. It felt like deception, An elite New York City hospital charges huge COVID test fees. Mimics Hill Hospital in Manhattan advertised its COVID-19 testing on a large blue and white banner outside its Greenwich Village Division emergency room. The banner said nothing about cost. The cost turned out to be the testing's most noteworthy feature. Lenox Hill, one of the city's oldest and best-known hospitals, repeatedly billed patients more than $3,000 for the routine nasal swab test, about 30 times the test's typical cost. It was shocking to see a number like that when I've gotten tested before. It's for $135 at Ana Roa, who was billed $3,358 for a test at Lenox Hill last month. Ms. Roa's coronavirus test bill was among 16 that the New York Times reviewed from the site. They showed that Lenox Hill arrives at its unusually high prices by charging a late fee for the test itself, about six times the typical charge, and by billing the encounter as moderately complex emergency room visit. In one case, a family accrued $39,314 in charges for 12 tests this winter, all taken to fulfill requirements for returning to work or school. An asymptomatic patient walked in because she saw a banner outside and wanted a test offer after traveling. Her insurance was charged $2,963. So, you know, some of these tests are mandated. Like I said, before you go back to work, go to school, so they took them, and the hospital sure did clean up with that. Don't know where this is going to go. But obviously the hospital had a boom there for a while, just like all hospitals did with COVID, when they were given like 13,000 to diagnose a patient and 39,000 if they treated it in the hospital, so as a bonus. So this has been, for some people, a very high profit-making situation, hasn't it?
It sure has, and you know what's really sad is there's so much of this going on. It's hard to tell what's true, what's not true when you go to these hospitals anymore and what they do. And once they became for-profit hospitals, it was there goes our healthcare. And people who are crying about wanting, you know, free healthcare and free Medicare for all. You think our healthcare is bad now? You know. It took me 6 weeks, almost 8 weeks, just to get an eye appointment for a checkup. It's only going to get worse.
Yes,
and,
I agree.
So, yeah, they're going to take advantage, and it's just like anything else. It's for profit, man. They'll do anything for money. Sad.
And it is sad. It is. The love of money, the Bible tells us, is the root of all evil. It is. China's military preparing for U.S. intervention in Taiwan Strait. Now, this is getting hot over there. China is readying itself for American and Japanese involvement in any Taiwan Strait conflict, with recent warplane exercises around the island aimed at displaying its ability to isolate Taiwan from potential support, according to an analyst in Beijing and Taipei. After 10 People's Liberation Army aircraft, including fighter jets and reconnaissance planes, flew sorties into Taiwan's air defense ID zone on Monday, a senior defense official in Taipei noted the offensive military exercise. Deputy Defense Minister Chang Chi-ping described the waves of Chinese aircraft as part of a naval and air force joint operation. The gesture by Beijing was notable for its pincer-like flight pattern around Taiwan after the Japanese Defense Ministry reported two additional PLA warplanes crossing the East China Sea and Macao Strait between the Japanese-controlled islands. One of the aircraft then headed southwest before turning north to fly parallel to Taiwan's eastern coastline. So things are kind of picking up over there. They really are. I don't know if that's just posturing and boasting, or just bragging on who they are, what they can do. I don't know. But it's picking up there, Melody. And it's the same thing in Ukraine. U.S. official called buildup of Russian forces near Ukraine border concerning. There's concerning buildup of Russian forces near the border with Ukraine. A U.S. defense official told CBS News after Ukraine's commander-in-chief, Ruslan Kopchak, told his country's parliament that Russian troops from different regions have been assembling near the border. One possible explanation is that the troops are training, but the American defense official said Russia has not announced any exercises in the area. And a Ukrainian serviceman stand, I'll show you the picture of a guy standing with a machine gun watching the border. Ukraine and Russia have been in conflict since Russia annexed the Crimean Peninsula in 2014. The U.S. and its NATO allies do not recognize Russia's annexation of the peninsula, and the U.S. contributes millions in both non-military and military aid each year to Ukraine. Relations between the two countries have been getting worse. Just 4 days ago, four Ukrainian soldiers were killed by Russian separatists shelling in eastern Ukraine. Russian President Vladimir Putin acknowledged the increase in violence on Tuesday and blamed Ukrainian forces for it. An official readout from the Kremlin of a phone call that Putin had with the French and German leaders said he had expressed serious concern about the escalation of armed confrontation on the contact line between being provoked by the Ukraine. So it's heating up there. And one more, NATO scrambles jet 10 times to track Russian military planes across Europe.
This is
amazing. I mean, NATO scrambled fighter jets 10 times Monday to track and intercept an unusually rare peak of Russian bombers and fighters flying over the North Sea, Black Sea, and Baltic Sea, according to a NATO official. NATO aircraft intercepted six different groups of Russian military aircraft near Alliance airspace in the last 6 hours, the organization said in a statement. The Russian activity across an unusually wide area of European skies came on the same day. North American Airspace Defense Command said it tracked Russian aircraft off the coast of Alaska. So, wow. I don't know. Interesting. A lot of places are showing a military build-up and a military presence, and they all seem to be pointing, you know, basically to Russia and America right now. So I don't know. What's your comments on that?
Well, I mean, we've been hearing a lot of this for a long time about the build-ups and, you know, various things going on, and particularly with Iran and so forth. And now you have North Korea shooting off missiles with threats and, you know, one of these days, one of them will mean something. We just don't know when. And these are all signs. It isn't any different than our monetary system around the globe. We have all the signs, and it's just a matter of time. And but it's also a matter of time. We're out of time. So we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.